we can catch up. Okay. We can catch up offline as well.
All right.
But, yeah.
Dum.
Start it up.
You're just checking up on me, Kenny Hauk. Welcome back. What the hell, man? What the hell?
What's the word, bro?
Oh, man. You tell me, man. You're the one now. You're having people migrating from, you know, one city to another. Goodness. You guys are,
I know, man.
What the heck?
The big move from Lakeland. Not my move, as you know, but the big parents moving to Ormond Beach. So 38 years in Lakeland, Florida. You know.
How are they holding up?
Change.
How are they holding up with this move?
Yeah, I think they're okay. It's always tough because, you know, a house is a house, right? But, you know, it's the memories that bring you back to that area, to that house. And, you know, 38 years is a long time. You know, I didn't grow up, for me specifically, I didn't grow up in a family that moved a lot. Never, obviously. So, you know, so it's not something it's not my normal. So, when you're, you know, sell this house, my childhood house, you know, where I grew up in, kind of certainly has an impact on me. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's, you know, the family's moving closer to us, and you know, we'll have a chance to see them more and hang out and be together. So, you know, that's certainly, you know, worth more than any physical thing, certainly.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet thing because, like you said, it's one of those things that has history, a lot of nostalgic memories. There is an emotional attachment to that. And when you're having to uproot that and start a new chapter, for them, especially after so many years, it's got to be hard because as we get through life, we get more settled in into our routine, into our environments. And next thing you know, we're kind of just finishing out the journey in that space and time. You know, we're not trying to change things up all the time like I do with my phone numbers, right? But it's one of those things that it's got to be very difficult for them, but at the same time, like you said, it's got to be exciting because now everyone's going to be closer, and granted it's a new environment for them, but they're going to have a lot of familiar faces around, so that's going to be very comforting and that's going to be exciting. So I'm looking forward to it.
Exactly. So it's, you know, it's going to be different, but, you know, it is a new chapter, as you said. It's a new adventure and a new start, really. You know, but in the old is certainly tough to let go. And, you know, we all, I think you and I talked about this before, you know, some of us are a little bit more nostalgic than others. But I think everybody certainly can appreciate a little bit of nostalgia. So it's tough to let go of some of that stuff.
Yeah, and I'm on the other end of that because I've always been on the move. I remember in one stretch, I moved like 10 times in the span of 5 years. There was always moving, right? Constant. Yeah, I changed schools every year. It was something that I was so, it felt like an army family type of experience where every year you were just moving somewhere and different surroundings and different school, different kids. And I think in Florida it became a little bit more stable, but even then you still moved. So that's always been a part of me. Just always moving. And this has been, honestly, outside of living in Lakeland, being in this area has been the longest tenure for me as far as being in one place. So this is not normal for me by any means. You know, I'm already thinking in my head of the next step of okay, where am I going to go? I'm not used to this, you know. I mean, even though I love this area, I see myself staying here in the long term, just like you have in Ormond Beach. It's I enjoy it. I don't see myself going to Lakeland much these days. So how would that work with you now that your parents are gone? Because now, obviously, you grew up there, you know people, but now that your family's back in Ormond, I mean, how do you see that dynamic changing for you visiting Lakeland and making the drive like you did before?
You know, my grandma, who you know, obviously, mm-hmm. is still going to be in Lakeland, and my aunt, my dad's sister, is still in Lakeland. But, you know, that's that's it. You know, those are the, you know, those are the last family attachments. So once grandma decides to move, which, you know, listen, she's 82, it's only going to get, you know, progressively more difficult for her. So that, that eventually will result in, a, in some sort of move. And, you know, my aunt, she doesn't really have, besides her husband, you know, any family except for us. So she doesn't have any children. And so, you know, besides us and my grandma,
sure,
that's it for her. So I envision her potentially later down the road, certainly moving, maybe. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know. I'm a Lakelander, man. I love Lakeland. My grandmother born in Lakeland. My mother's mother. I got a lot of love for Lakeland. I got, you know, as much as we kid around about my Pittsburgh blood, which I do have, as you know, born and raised in Lakeland, come from Lakeland grandparents. So I got a lot of native blood in me as well. So, it's going to be a tough one, certainly. You know, you kind of always have that fallback option.
Yeah.
But it'll be nice to come back and, you know, and visit. It'd certainly be something to come back and visit and hang out and kind of see a Florida Southern game or, you know, just kind of, you know, maybe a stop-in, you know, if you will.
Sure.
You know, but really those decisions don't have to be made until my grandma decides to relocate and you know.
Yeah,
that's and, when those decisions will have to be
right. Made. And at this stage, it's just more about your parents, since it's happening now. They're getting on a U-Haul and heading east, northeast, man.
That's right, man.
Goodness,
U-Haul, baby, U-Hauling it up.
Yeah,
and yours truly is the mover.
Oh, I'm sure you have a hand in this. You're gonna put those muscles to work and all that stuff. Now, you know, I know you're in the routine, living the good Mary life, and doing the house chores and working. So. You know, you seem like you're all settled in up there and getting in the routine. Now, I haven't heard from your boy Troy. So, is he still there with you working, or is he going to a different venue? What? You know, I haven't heard much from him. So, did he do his thing?
Troy's good, man. Troy's good. Troy's he's just doing his thing. He and his wife Becky are expecting another child.
Look at that.
And so that will be number three for them. And, yeah, he's doing good, man. You know, I don't, obviously Troy and I work together and, so we certainly see each other at the office.
Sure.
We don't hang out as much just because, you know, how it goes when everybody gets older and everybody has their family thing going on. But, you know, Troy lives a mile away from me. And so, we try to make a point to kind of hang out, he and I, you know, as much as we can to kind of catch up and
that's the
keep that social thing going.
Yeah, dynamic of how, once you have kids, it's a very challenging aspect to juggle personal relationships and having the work challenges of work and being able to provide and keeping a healthy marriage,
right,
and having kids and doing all those things that entangle it, and then doing it times three kids. It's something that's very challenging. You need all hands on deck. And I know I've read many
articles. You're outnumbered, man.
Yeah.
They're outnumbered.
Yeah. And I've read something recently that talked about how men in the later stages in life just become more isolated. We, as
right,
men, we just become people that start disconnecting and stop associating with others. And we just become loners.
Right.
And, you know, we just kind of become part of the routine of whatever it is, whether it's with your family, whatever it is, you know, you just kind of become, and those connections that you have or that you were a part of engaging in all dissipate over time. And I think the only reason that we have that as far as being able to stay in touch with people has been through social media, has been through that power vehicle, you know, meaning that you're able to still stay in touch with your friends, even though you're not technically calling them, you're not hanging out with them, because you were able to kind of see how their life is going by their updates and things of that nature. So I think that's been the one plus for many of us in this world as we go along and enjoy the things that are currently going on in our lanes, that we're able,
right,
to kind of stay in touch, but not have to engage. And I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but it's the reality of life as it is.
Yeah, I think it's an evolution. You know, I'm not a big social media guy. I'm not, you know, a crotchety Generation X guy either that refuses to acknowledge it. You know, I'm on social media, but I haven't necessarily participated as much. Kind of one of the things where, hey, you're waiting, you're maybe at a traffic light, or you're kind of, I don't know, you're waiting for something, and then I click on my phone and we'll look at social media. But I, you know, I'm not there constantly, like, you know, numerous people are. Mm-hmm. You know, checking their phone, and you know, I actually, the one thing I do probably with my smartphone, my iPhone, is, you know, I'm constantly surfing the internet. I mean, I'm constantly Googling, surfing the internet. That's kind of my addiction.
Yep.
You know,
I agree.
Mean, I was just, as I'm driving here before you called, I was thinking about surfing the internet on my phone, and I was like, no, i4, not a good idea.
I do the same thing. I'm with you. The reason,
and it's random, bro. Herminio, it's random, man. In bed, I will sit there and I will Google total random stuff. You know, and it's very eclectic. You know, it'll go from Civil War battlefields to Socrates. You know, it's just strange stuff. It's kind of like whatever pops to my mind. I think that's part of just I'm hungry for knowledge.
Right.
Education, knowledge, just wanting to know, just learning, wanting to know as much as I can. So
yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, it's interesting because I do the same thing all the time. That's what I find myself doing. I jumped on social media, and I'll tell you that why. Because when I separated and divorced, when I was out there dating and meeting people, I have no problem meeting people in person and engaging, right? But what happened during the course of the conversation was they'll say, what's your Facebook? And I'm like, no, I don't have a Facebook. It's like, and they give you a look as if, no, motherfucker, you have a Facebook. Like, you're lying to me.
And I'm like,
no, I don't have a Facebook. I don't engage with that. I mean, people know how to get a hold of me. If you don't know how to get a hold of me, someone that you know knows how to get a hold of me that will reach out and find me, okay? Like, I don't, you know, if I change my phone number again and you can't find it, there's somebody out there that you know that stays in touch with me that you could reach out to, and they'll give you my information because you haven't done a good job, right? But anyway, going back to the girl thing and the social media, I started doing that because the girls will give you a look as if, oh, you must be married. You must, you know, something's up because everyone has social media in this day and age. So I had to give into it because you have to have a profile or a presence online to quote unquote verify that you're not a creep. You know, because that's just the way it is. And when you go on these dating apps and they ask you, do you have a Facebook profile? And I still don't have a Facebook profile. I have like a bogus one that I don't even put pictures or anything in it. But it's not mine because I refuse to get on there. I don't want my shit to be known on a personal level. You know, like, I don't want people to know that. I want them to ask me, okay, what do you do? Oh, okay, I'm an accountant. You know, I work for the accountant. You know, what? All these different things that you would ask, you can ask me that personally. I don't want that to be out there for a detective, someone that wants to be lurking and someone that wants to find out about me to go out and search. And I know people say, well, you know, you have all these privacy things. I get it. But I'm not comfortable with people, that information being out there for you to go get, okay? I'm going to make you work a little bit to get my information, okay? Like, I'm not just going to put it out there for you to see. But Instagram, I started doing that a couple years ago because I felt that was a bit impersonal, but I was able to provide pictures and updates of my life and who I am. So if anybody wanted to ask me and say, hey, do you have a Facebook? I'm like, no, I don't have Facebook, but I have an Instagram. So that was a good trade-off to them, and it satisfied the person or people that I was talking to, and they'll say, oh, okay, so you have an Instagram, they'll go check it, all right, this guy's not a creep, cool, you know, because that they're just trying to verify if you're not a criminal. They're trying to verify because that's just the dynamic of the dating world now. It's that people are filtering who you are to make sure that you say who you are. So that's the only reason I jumped in it. But going back to what you were saying with Google and searching, I do that all the time, and particularly I do it a lot with YouTube. I go on these channels and these subscriptions, especially with science and nutrition and just kind of just learning the science behind a lot of things, history. I'm with you on that premise of learning, and I jump all over the place. And it's a beautiful thing to have all this access to it. Like, it's so cool, indeed. Like, my mom, she actually...
Rini, you're fading on me, my man. I don't know if you took you unplugged me or you...
No, not at all. I did not unplug you, man.
You're back.
I am here live in the flesh, man. But anyway, I was just saying... What I was saying was that I do the same thing that you do with searching and knowledge and... Yep. Having that thirst to learn new things, I feel that the internet now is our library, our encyclopedia for anything.
Oh, no question.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about it, is that anytime you have a question about anything, you can go in there and research. Like right now, I am...
And it's a dangerous thing, too, you know, because... nobody, you know, typically nobody puts, if you had a problem, right, you know, you look on Google, you know, you're gonna find out kind of like the bad things about that problem. It's not like you're gonna find out like the good stuff or what. I always talk about reviews. You know, you go look at a review of something. Well, you can't really judge a review, because when someone goes on to put a review on, because they're pissed off and they want to tell somebody about it.
Sure.
Or they want to vent. You know, I just find, you know, very rarely do, you know, I know it happens, so it's maybe not very rarely, but people put on positive reviews of various things. But what I'm saying is, if you got some sort of issue and you Google it, you know, chances are you're going to see the worst case scenario of that issue.
Correct.
So that sometimes it can be a dangerous thing.
Correct. I believe it is in our nature to spew any complaints or anything that we have issues with. I remember reading something or talking to someone about this, that the impact of, let's say if you go out and to a restaurant and you have a really bad experience, there's a likelihood that you're going to complain about it in some way, shape, or form, via through your account, via through Yelp, whatever it is. You're going to let it be known that you had a bad experience, and that's something that us in our society are prevalent. It's something that we're, it's normal. It's something that it's not uncommon, right? So, like you said, right, it's something that you can always find. If you think something's too good to be true, you can always find a counter argument for it and learn. And I know with me and my car, I am able to find issues all the time that come up. So when I hear something rattling, or let's just say some symptoms come up to the car that were not there before, I'll Google those symptoms. I'll say, okay, yep. You know, I'll say fan not working, 2014 Ford, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden,
right,
I'm in a Ford forum with people having,
yep,
those same complaints and sharing notes.
Yep.
And that's a beautiful thing about it. It's like you're able to collect this information of similar experiences. It's good to know that. It's a great way to find solutions, because you're not the only one that has run into those problems. And I think that's something that's
right,
very cool indeed about the internet. And it can get addicting. I think learn, especially if you have a desire to learn and be inquisitive, I think that aspect of Google is very scary. It really is.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
the way I look at it, brother. So,
man.
All right, man. So going into that, you know, since you always Googling and stuff like that, what's been some of the things that have been bothering you, man? What's been ruffling you up lately? Because I know, man, you're a passionate guy of many things. And I don't know. You know, I usually do the opposite. I unplug. And then what I do is I'll find personal things that maybe I talk to a friend about. And then it gets my wheel spinning. And next thing I do, boom, I do a podcast about that. So...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's kind of what I do, you know.
Right.
Because I like having these personal thoughts, because I don't like really debating with somebody, especially if they have strong convictions about what they think and how they live. Like, there's no chance. Like, for I respect someone that I contrast with, but I'm not trying to sit here and compete and try. You know, people get off on that battle, and I don't. You know, and I'm like, you know, unless we can, if we can't have something logic, you know, talk logically and just agree to disagree, then I'm not going to go any further with this. You know, and I had a couple friends that get the hint from me now. That I'm like, right. I'm not locking horns, man. That's all you, bro. Do your thing, bro. Like, we can just go to another topic. It's all good, bro.
In the idea of debating something is, you know, it's a tough one, man. I mean, you know, you and I have kind of gone, you know, at our friendly chatter and ins and outs about religion and
we're good, and, by the way, we're good with that. We can talk. I can talk to you and I have no issues because I know that we can agree to disagree. I'm just saying that a lot of people don't get on that level, and I think you know that, obviously. You know, there's just some people that have such a strong vindication of their values and they're not bending for anyone, and those are the people that I'm just like, all right, you know, whatever.
Well, I always, at the end of the day, when I'm talking to somebody about something, I want them to essentially respect what I have to say.
Sure.
You know, you show me respect of what I have to say, then we're all good.
Yep.
I don't like when I get just dismissed.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't, in turn, like to just dismiss people either. So, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I mean, you know, we could talk.
What has been on your mind lately?
So
what has been, yeah, what has been on your mind lately that you've been kind of tussling with that you want to convey and not sharing some thoughts on that? That'd be pretty cool just to, you know, where your direction is in career. Do you feel good about where you're at physically? You know, when it comes to the next chapter in your life with your marriage, possibly kids or your family dynamic. I mean, anything that, I mean, as far as learning about, you know, augmented reality and, you know, whatever it is, you know. Any crazy thoughts?
No, I mean, I'm good, man. It was funny, you know, I texted you kind of because the NBA Finals, right? We're catching so much, so much coverage of the Finals and, of course, all the LeBron coverage. And I was texting you, hey, you know, I'm ready for the showdown with LeBron versus MJ.
Yes, sir.
And I love that stuff, especially in the sports talk radio, because you know, it's awesome. I love it.
Right.
And they were obviously you know throwing LeBron. And I'm a big LeBron guy. I'm a huge LeBron guy, actually. But you know, I mean, LeBron to MJ, you know, of course not. I don't even think it's much of an argument. But I love to hear that conversation. And, you know, recently before the finals, actually that's when I texted you, that it was kind of all over the place, you know, and I just thought it was intriguing because I kind of get wrapped up in it, you know, as I'm listening to these conversations. And, you know, I've not done any research. So I can't necessarily talk statistics or analysis.
Right.
I just kind of go on what I know and what I lived and what I've seen. And so, you know, that's kind of what I base my debate on. But, you know, that was fun. I mean, that was a fun debate, and I loved hearing the conversations about it. I mean, you know, there's some people that say LeBron should get past Kobe before he can get to MJ.
Yeah,
and a few other people. And it's funny, man, because I don't even have Kobe on my Mount Rushmore. So it's interesting to see how we all rate, you know, basketball players and their impact on the game.
Yeah, I think. Well, if we're gonna talk about Mount Rushmore, and I can only speak on the people that I've seen play, I would say my Mount Rushmore, the four is Jordan, Bird, Magic, and LeBron. With
that's 5-4-2.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Honorable mention.
Yeah, hands down.
Honorable mention, Shaq. Honorable mention, Kobe. You know, it's one of those things I just can't, you know, you can go down to whoever it is, but those are the top four because, and the reason I always go back to LeBron in this talk as far as being the best because he's unique at what he does. There is no comparison to him, and that's what, and you have to appreciate what he does for his size and his skill set. Like, he's lived up to the hype of him being the best player in high school that he got, and he's delivered. And I think that you couldn't ask for anything more from what he's done. Is he Jordan? I don't think he has the squad he's had the teams and the help that Jordan had, and he was able to compete on a year-to-year basis. He finally got to the finals consistently when he got some help. And I think that's where I think the difference between LeBron and Jordan is that LeBron can single-handedly make a team that's bad really good and a team that's really good great. And like, he's essentially like a steroid for a team. Like Canseco would say the same thing about, you know, steroids on baseball players. Just say, you know, you make a good player great and then a great player a Hall of Famer. I think of the same. That's how I feel about LeBron. Whereas Jordan, I don't think Jordan can be placed on a team and he can impose his will into the team. You know, like, I don't think he can do that.
I got to disagree with you on that, Herminio. I think, and again, you know, I'm just going off of, you know, you're three years older than me, or 2 years older than me. So, you know, we're basically the same age. So we watched the same stuff growing up. I believe that, and I think it's the obvious answer is when Michael in his prime played baseball, right? Michael in his prime played baseball, and what happened to the Bulls? And,
let's talk about, you know, talk about that year.
Hang on. Let me finish my thought. So, and you're talking about, you know, guys like John Paxson and Steve Kerr and
talk about Kruko. You have Luke Longley, Bill Weddington.
Luke Longley. Yeah, Luke Longley and
Ron Harper and his downfall.
Ron Harper and
Horace Grant.
Mean, we're talking about like role players, right? I mean, essentially role. I mean, Scotty. I mean, would Scotty make the greatest 50 players list that came out a few years ago now? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. I really don't know. But so this is not a Scotty Pippen conversation, but, you know, obviously Rodman was on there. But, you know, you look at the early teams that Jordan had. I mean, you know, he kind of carried the show, in my opinion. And if you took Jordan off the team, the Bulls went down, no question about it. And I think that, you know, obviously LeBron took Cleveland to the finals, you know, when he was with Cleveland. And, you know, he essentially needed the big three. You know, he needed the other Hall of Fame to win championships. Now, when he beat Cleveland, you know, when Cleveland won the championship last year, that's what cemented my Mount Rushmore with him. Because, you know, Kevin Love is Kevin Love. He is what he is. And Kyrie is still such a young player. I think he is going to be great, but, you know, obviously it's very difficult at this time to, you know, compare Kyrie to any of those guys. And, so when he took Cleveland and won the championship last year, that's when I was always a LeBron guy, but that's when I was like, all right, you know, this guy is one of the greatest, and he's made my Mount Rushmore of four.
Yeah, I think this is the difference that you look at the squad. Maybe on his first three championships, other than Scottie Pippen, he didn't have anyone. But on the last three, he had two Hall of Famers and a very likely a third one in Tony Kukoc. So that's the problem that I have. And on the 2 years that he took off, they did make it to the semifinals to the seventh game against the Knicks. They won 50 games. And they whereas when LeBron left Cleveland, they had the worst team I mean, that was how much of a difference. They ended up getting a bunch of top five picks. I want to say 1 year they took back-to-back. Remember, they got Kyrie Irving was the number one overall. Then they had a back-to-back number overall. I think his name was Michael Bennett, but he became a bust, okay?
From UNLV?
Yeah, exactly. Some guy, right. Then they had Tristan Thompson. That was another lottery pick. So that's what Cleveland was getting once LeBron left, okay? So that tells you how bad that team was. And that team was winning 60 games. When LeBron left, they won 60 games back-to-back years. And he left, and all of a sudden, they were just getting top picks in the lottery. So that's where you see the impact. And even with Miami, when he left, they just made it to the second round. That was it. And they were okay. I mean, they were a good team, but they were not great. And that's the difference that I see the difference with LeBron making that big of an impact. And I remember that second year when he took them to the finals. And you probably don't remember, but they played Detroit when they were in their final. You know, that they had that run where they beat the Lakers, where they had Ben Wallace. Larry Brown was their coach. And they had a bunch of no-names, but they were a really good team. It was Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton. They had Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace.
Chauncey. That was
okay, so that team, so LeBron beat that team when they were still all together. He beat them all. Like, he scored in overtime. I want to say he scored like 28 points in a row. And then he eventually went to the finals, and he played the Spurs, and the Spurs swept them. But that was on his second year. So I just think the impact that he makes on a team. And you can talk about the people that he had to add on, but I think all the great players needed that. And I go into the argument with Kobe versus Jordan in the aspect of when Kobe won his last two.
Say that again, Herman. You kind of faded. Say it again.
Okay.
That last part.
I go into the LeBron and not LeBron, but Jordan versus Kobe. And in that aspect of those guys being compared, I give Kobe the edge because he didn't play. Okay, tell me a Hall of Famer he played with in his last two championships. He had Lamar Odom. He had
Kobe.
Yes, Kobe. All he had, he had less talent to play with, and he took that team, and he won two championships and failed on the third one because they lost to the Celtics. They beat the Celtics, and they beat the Magic. And that was Kobe. So he took them to three finals. Right. They won two. He was trying to do the Jordan, but he didn't. So that's where Kobe – I'm going to do a podcast on Kobe versus Jordan, and I'm going to have all these categories, and I'm going to have it as a boxing match. You know how when you watch a boxing match and the scorecard is 10-9, 10-9, 10-9? You know, where it's like one person wins it. That's what I'm going to do with that. I'm going to have I'm going to do all these categories. I'm going to do like a boxing. I'm going to do 12 categories. And I'm going to give, for example, shooting, Jordan 9, Kobe 10. Defense, Jordan 10, Kobe 9. Does that mean because they're that comparable?
I feel you.
Yeah, they're comparable. I mean, there is no anybody that wants to say they're not comparable. Hasn't watched both players.
Why isn't Kobe on our Mount Rushmore? The Mount Rushmore that you and I agree on. Why isn't Kobe? If Kobe is better than MJ, straight up, why isn't Kobe on our Mount Rushmore?
He's not as he wasn't as because he's a carbon copy. He's not the original. That's
so
where.
Why did he knock him off?
Because
why did he knock him off?
Because the original, it's. I look at it also as that Mount Rushmore of being players that not only were great but were transitioned to the brand and to the sport. And I think we know with Jordan, he transitioned the sport into being a global phenomenon. I think Magic and Bird, as great as they were, they helped it become part of the national game, meaning obviously it's never going to be as high as football, but they brought it to a spotlight where people were interested. Okay.
Well, Magic and Bird, and I think it's interesting that both if you talk to Magic, you talk to Bird. I believe this is quoted out there that Magic has said that Bird's the best player he's ever played against, and Bird has said Magic's the best player he's ever played against.
Sure, they're the same.
But you got two people on our Mount Rushmore basically saying the same, you know, the same thing. So, you know, if I remember history in the mid 70s, late 70s, you know, the NBA was kind of on the out, certainly, but it was kind of kind of falling a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, what Magic and Bird and the Celtics and Lakers of the 80s essentially brought it back into the high-flying, you know, stratosphere that, you know, we love.
Yes.
And then all of the characters that you and I both grew up on just added to that. So.
No, I agree. Then that's the reason why they get a pass, because not only get a pass, but that's what they're labeled to me as being great, because not only do their statistics say that, but the accolades and the impact they had on the game. Like, Jordan's impact on the game was revolutionary as well, because here comes Magic and Bird. They put in their work, and okay, how is Jordan going to top this? Well, he did. He brought the game to a level where it became very popular, and he's an iconic figure. I mean, his shoe brand speaks for itself. So,
absolutely,
you know. So that just lets you know why he's there. Where Kobe was just following in that footsteps, and he never was able to supplant Jordan, and not yet, anyway. I mean, unless Kobe becomes a bigger brand than Jordan, then I can't put him on that Mount Rushmore, because that's where, in my head, I'm thinking just because of the branding and the legacy is greater. But I'll tell you this, if you give me Jordan or Kobe, I'm okay. I'm okay with either one. You're not disappointing me, because I think they both acknowledge each other as being similar in their mindsets. And that's where you can pick. But I think it's because of the legacy. Jordan's legacy is greater at this stage. And LeBron is very unique, because he's also done things that have never been done before, you know? And I mentioned that before, that when we talk about the free agency move that he did, it was something that back in those days, it wasn't done, because the contracts were as such that they were long-term. So these teams that drafted players, they had long contracts in play. It wasn't for 4 years or 3 years and things like that. Like, the owners did that. They restructured those contracts so that they don't have to be liable for a bust.
Right.
You know, like, if they pay someone $150 million and by year two of that contract, they have ACL, you know, surgery or a torn Achilles, then, oh gosh, you know, that rest of $130 million or whatever it is you owe that player, you're on the hook for it. So the owners decided to do short-term deals. So now the players have leverage. That's you gave away your leverage by having short-term deals and being able to opt out. Because I looked at that before with Magic. He had a 25-year deal for $25 million. So, of course, he's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's stuck in L.A. for 25 years. $25
million. Right.
So, and so we have to look at those contracts back then versus now. But now it's all a business, and these guys are aware. And I think they now have leverage where before they did not. Now it's like, well, you better take care of me. And now, whether people like that or not, you know, that's another conversation there. But they're playing by the rules that are currently in place. And LeBron did that. LeBron said, hey, I gave you 7 years. I don't like the work that's been done here. Look at all the work I've done. Okay. And you haven't helped me. And this is not acceptable. And I have a situation here that I'm going to get together with some guys, and I like what I'm getting here. Okay. See you guys later.
Yeah. I mean,
the way he did it was not cool. The way he did it was not cool, but yeah, I respect the decision. Yeah. I don't like what he did, making it all public, like a big spectacle. But as far as him moving on, that's fine. I get that. You know, that didn't bother me.
Listen, I mean, it's as long as you're, I mean, he the collective bargaining agreement, you know, the agreement that was in place allowed him to do what he did, right? So so he could certainly do that, and that's obviously what he did. But I didn't like what he did either. In fact, I did not like LeBron after that. I actually became a pretty big LeBron hater. And when he came back to Cleveland, you know, that summer, I remember I was like mesmerized by the TV, you know, wondering if he's going to come back or not. And then when he came back, you know, I was like, I was, you know, one of those flies drawn to the light. I was just like, oh man, I'm back in the game now. So,
yeah,
it made me root for, you know, it made me root. He played the bad guy, he played the good guy, and it made me root for him again.
It's hard. Yeah, he was trailblazing, and that's what he was doing with his career path. He did something that no one else did. He went against the grain.
Yep.
And you have to commend guys like that, that in their careers, try things and are not afraid to fail. And I think that's the beautiful thing that I respect about him. I'm not saying that I like his flopping. I'm not saying that he has some comments that I don't like from time to time. But he seems, all his teammates seem to like him for the most part. He seems to love the game. He makes everyone else around him better. You know, he has his tendencies where he could seem to want to be one-upping the coach, how I would say, meaning that he would be grandstanding or doing something in a gesture or in a manner where he wasn't on the same page with the coach. I think those are things that you do behind the scenes. But other than that, I can't knock his skill set. And it's interesting because I see the downfall right now. I could see that he's not as physically amazing as he was 3 or 4 years ago. Like Miami LeBron was definitely the best LeBron I've ever seen. That's if you ask me for a phase, I'd be like, I want Miami LeBron hands down. That was the most efficient. It was just terrorizing. It was just a complete package. He learned how to win. But at this stage, he's even better because but physically you could tell he's coming down a notch because I see him missing dunks. I see him doing layups, and I'm like, that wasn't LeBron. Like, LeBron would just take off and just try to break that thing down, you know? And so it's just it's very interesting to see it, how cyclical it is when we see the great ones and we slowly see them go down and they don't have that lift. Those knees only have so many jumps in them, you know? And it's just a very...
Well, I think transitioning to, you know, staying on the NBA, but transitioning slightly, you know, I think the NBA's got you know, I like Adam Silver a lot. I really like him. I like listening to his kind of State of the Union type update that he provides.
Yeah.
But I really think the NBA is going to have a problem, quite honestly. I think once the Cavs and Golden State, once they play each other out, so to speak. And I always hate when they talk about dynasties, you know, this and that. I mean, oh, we're tired of, you know, dynasties have been around for years and years, you know. I mean, so, yeah, I'm all about, you know, the trilogy. And listen, they can play next year for all I care. You know, they can play best of five.
Right.
But whenever that goes, I mean, I think the NBA is going to have a problem because there's nothing out there. I mean, you saw how terrible the playoffs were.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. And I don't, and you know, when LeBron kind of, as you said, starts that decline, and, you know, I mean, what's going to happen to the Warriors? I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, who?
No, you're right. There's always that transition.
What's going to happen in the NBA?
Yeah.
Am I going to be watching, you know, I just don't see it. And that's, you know, and this goes into the much deeper, the one and done debate. And, you know, so I guess my question is that, you know, where do you see the NBA going once LeBron has kind of become a shadow?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is you're going to have the same transition period that we had during the Jordan era, because it didn't quickly go from Jordan to LeBron or to Kobe. It took a couple of years to come down from that high, and it wasn't as fun to watch. I mean, I remember it was the Pistons and the Spurs playing. It was terrible. No one was watching that. You know, that's when that group of Chauncey Billups, you know, it was like that. And then Kobe was feuding with Shaq and all that. So it wasn't as quality, but you just got to wait around to that next superstar rises and dominates the league. And then what happens is you have the superstar, and then you have the counter to that. It's like the, you know, like the Star Wars. You have the Jedis and the, you know, the Siths that get together. So you got to wait for that Jedi to rise in order to have some strong opposition to be created. And then that's when you have those battles that we're seeing right now. So, and until then, you know, we just got to hang on and find a way to kill time and get ready for football, right? Because that's what it's all about.
That's right, man. Hey, listen, the football countdown is on.
It is.
The football countdown's on. The NBA playoffs are on. I mean, you know, I'm a baseball guy, but.
Right.
Yeah,
I didn't get the shout out from you guys. I know last year you guys gave me the shout out with the fantasy baseball, but that was good because I'm doing podcasting and stuff like that. So, and I'm actually looking into affiliate marketing. I'm trying to do some income-based stuff on the side with the internet, and I'm learning about it through my friend. I did a podcast on it, and I'm going to dive into that as well. So see how that goes, because it's something I could do. Yeah, it's something I could do on my spare time, and it's not it's sweat equity, and it's something I could do in my computer. So let's just say I have my daughter. I can get up early and do it and not mess up the routine or anything like that. So, you know, so I
very
think
good.
It works out good.
Sky's the limit, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about the internet. It allows you to learn about so much. And I always say this when it comes to the internet. I know if it was around when we were in high school, man, the options would have been limitless for me because I was in a mode of wanting to learn and to be better. Whatever it is, I was just trying to find answers. And the internet provides them all and then some. So it should be, you know.
I'm with you, man. No, I caught a little bit of that podcast when I was driving to Lakeland. So I listened to just maybe the first 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And that dude's funny, man. I don't know if I've ever met him. I don't think I've met him.
You haven't met my clown friends, man.
When I say he's fun, I mean he's very sounds like a very intelligent guy, very very smart.
Yeah.
At what he does.
Well,
he sounds like he's a character when I listen to kind of the first part.
Yeah, man.
Softball Hermenio, I can totally relate, man. You know, as I trained for the Ironman, as you probably remember, a couple years ago,
right?
And, I tore my hamstring and playing softball, and big black and blue on the back side of the hamstring. Not a pretty sight.
Yeah, I mean, Derek is a character. That's the one thing about these guys here in Naples that I know. They're a bunch of funny characters. Like, you get us together. We're a comedy skit nonstop. And, but I know that softball and flag football are the ones that people do a lot of damage in because it's such a quick burst that you do, you know, whether you're out there fielding or sprinting down the base. If you're not stretched, if you're not out there warmed up, you're going to have problems. And I see it all the time. I see it all the time, not firsthand, but I always have friends that tell me, yeah, I was in a softball tournament, man, and I went and ran out of fly ball, and, man, I just went a little too extra, and, man, my calf tore, or, you know, my groin, or, you know, so it's just no different, man. It's like the same thing with flag football. It's like, well, you know, I just make this move, and, oh, you know, I just heard this pop, and I was like, oh, gosh, you know. So, but I'm getting brittle myself. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but, I had a surgery on my Achilles, and then my other one was giving me tendonitis just recently because I've been playing basketball again. And it was just throbbing, the non-surgical one. And I said, uh-oh, this is what I felt on the – on the other one. So I'm going to take a long break here because I'm not going through surgery again.
Say that again. You you felt some tightness, or you felt something in your other Achilles?
Yeah, in my other Achilles, the non-surgical one, I had tendonitis. And what happened was in the surgically repaired one, the symptoms that I was having was tendonitis, soreness. And the way I went about it then was, okay, I just warm it up and stretch. No problem. I popped it once. I didn't do any of those things. I just went out there and played. And the combination of the tendonitis, which is an indicator by the body letting you know that you're overworking that part of your body. So when you have any type of tendonitis in your shoulder, elbow, wherever it is, your knee, that means that you've been working it a bit too extreme. So so when I felt that on my Achilles, the non-surgical one, just recently, I said, I'm going to stop. I'm going to, you know, we're going to shut down all activities for a while. I'm still working out, but I'm not playing basketball anymore. Like, I'm like, until that.
Probably smart, man.
Yeah.
Probably smart.
I'm telling you, Achilles have you in bed ridden for a while, and it took me about a year and a half to get back. And I'm not 100%, but just to be active again, it took about a year and a half. So I don't want to go through that again. I don't wish
that. I don't blame you. It's not worth it, man. It's not worth it.
No.
I mean, you know, the problem is that, you know, when you come from a competitive, you had that competitive personality and you have the ability to go out there and compete, you know, it's tough to turn that off. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a professional or just a weekend guy. It's tough to turn it off. So
exactly.
That's, you know, I do this, I feel the same way, you know, but it's, you know, I don't know. It's just tough to turn it off. But
yeah.
You just have to be smart about it.
Yeah. You have you have to find ways to channel it that are not going to be, hazardous to your health. And that's where you run into that problem. Like for me, the way I transitioned years ago from my knee surgery that I had a microfracture meniscus, you know, back in 2010.
Yep, I remember.
So I couldn't play basketball for a few years. So that's where I transitioned into lifting weights. I didn't care about lifting weights back then. I didn't, you know, that's just basketball players don't do that. We don't lift.
Right.
You know, we just go out there and play. We joke around in the weight room. That's what we do. Yeah, you know, a couple of reps here and there. All right. You know, no big deal. I can't even do a pull up. You know, so I didn't care about lifting weights. And you know, now you get.
Now see, but for you big guys, man, you didn't have to worry about that. For your boy, I had to lift weights.
You were on it. That's the one thing about you that anybody that doesn't know you. You were a power lifter in high school, and it was incredible, man. I remember one time going, man, and just seeing you put in work in those deadlifts, and I was like, goodness gracious, man, that's something that I can't, that's another level, man, it's too much. And I was unaware of the bodybuilding culture, I was unaware of that whole thing. It was just very interesting to see you dabble in it, and you know, I could tell there was a difference for you. You know, it was definitely, you just saw the difference physically, and you definitely holding your own. You know, when I saw you junior or senior year.
I mean, when I was 18, I don't know if you remember this. When I was 18, you know, I won the AAU Teenage National Championship.
Yes, I do remember that.
When I was 18. So, I mean, you know, listen, I still got the gold medal. I still got the gold plaque. You know, nobody can ever take that away from me. I mean, that was one of the, as you and I talked before, that's one of the greatest things my dad did was, freshman in high school, he set me up with Ken Snell and a weight training routine, and you know, I got after it. And you know, that the powerlifting culture is a complete, you know, I haven't had, you know, certainly the locker room team, the collegiate culture as much as I, you know, wanted to, chose the Florida State route instead, but you know, I have been a part of the, you know, the powerlifting, you know, groups and the triathlon groups, and it's interesting to see the dynamic of each different, network of people.
Right.
And in the powerlifting group is a very tight-knit community, you know, and they're very passionate, and you don't mess with these people.
No,
it's, you know, these guys are intense.
Yeah, they're very supportive. Intense. Very supportive. It's no different in the CrossFit and the runners and the cyclists. You know, that those are little cults in within themselves, and they take that passion very seriously, and they take everyone involved in it very seriously, like family members, because that's just part of the lifestyle, because those folks do it. And
right.
Yeah, bodybuilding, I wasn't aware of it because, again, I mean, in basketball, that's the last thing you did. You didn't do any lifting. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, we're going there for a half hour, whatever. All right, let me just kind of throw some curls around just so coach doesn't give me a hard time. But, I understand completely where you're coming from, man. And it was one of those things that you did, and it was awesome to see. So that's why I had transitioned from playing basketball to lifting weights. And now I find myself that, you know, I'm lifting weights and I'm good, but then I'm playing basketball and my body's hurting. Because, gosh, I had two I had two Achilles surgeries. I had a hernia. Then I got a car accident.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, so this has been in a span of 2 years, 2.5 years, that all of this has gone on. And I'm like, you know what? Now I got to slow down, because next thing you know, I'll be in the surgery operating table, and I don't want to go through that again. So, and I don't wish that on anyone. I really don't. It sucks, especially when you're active like me and you. I mean, it's something that it just debilitates you mentally. It's like, fuck, again? Damn, you know?
Do you think the fact that being a big guy, I mean, when I say big guy, I mean, you're not 6'8 by any means, but, you know, 6'4", 6'5", do you think being a bigger guy contributes to that?
I think so. I think if we were to have a pie chart, I think is my level of intensity that me mentally thinking one speed and my body being worn down is at another. So, you know, where I am, you know, a game like basketball, you're competing against people at this stage now twice your age, at least. You know, they're in their late teens, early 20s, mid 20s. So you're, you know, you're thinking you can compete with them mentally because you see them, they're terrible.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I'll eat you alive. So you're trying to, but your body, it's just not built to move.
Right.
You know, it's just because of the wear and tear on it. It's just Father Time is undefeated. So if I'm trying to guard a little guy that's fast, not saying I could have done that back in college, and I did that in college. Like, I would stick point guards full court and run up and down and full court press and all that fun stuff. You know, that my body could handle it. But, you know, you're trying to switch off that mindset to say, okay, you have to be slow. You have to think slow. It's a very hard thing to do. And that's what causes the issues, you know, when you're used to sprinting the last half mile, you know, balls out, and now you just can't do it because next thing you know, you're straining, you know, your abs, you haven't warmed up enough, or you know, so it's just I think it's more of the engine of pushing hard and not your body not taking it in very good. It's like your body's saying, dude, like that.
You know, the age is what it is, right? Age is what it is. So, and, you know, it's, I mean, that's a whole other podcast in terms of thinking about, you know, I mean, I see my friends, right? I mean, I'm 38. I believe you're 40. You know, I see my friends and, you know, I look at them. I mean, when I see you, I don't look at you as 40. I you know, it draws me back to us as, you know, years and years ago. And
right.
It's, you know, it's such an interesting dynamic to, you know, as you age or as we age.
Yeah, you don't mentally accept,
you know, the perspective that we view each other or that we look at each other.
Because
I look at my, I don't, I'm like, man, you're 40. I mean, I'm 40, like, so old.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Totally get it.
It's kind of like, wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's hard to put that perspective because, I mean, trust me, I mean, there's people that still look at me and, you know, they just think of back in the days type of thing. And it's like, no, man, we've moved on. We're bigger and better and older and slower. So we just have to accept a lot of the things that are occurring in our life. And that's one of them, you know, just not being able to scale back, brother. And that's what we got to do. So,
yeah,
goodness. Listen, it's been already time's up, like they will say in the therapy session. I mean, we'll keep talking some more, but for quality purposes, we're going to have to cut this off, my friend. And until next time, man, it flies by, man. It's crazy. We could just talk all freaking day.
I know, man. I know. Get back plugged in and get back at it. So one of these days, we'll get down and dirty, and we'll have to talk movies and entertainment, man.
Yeah.
That's the one thing.
I'm telling you.
You kind of threw down on my Stranger Things.
I did
TV show, so I want to get some more information from you on record about
sure
thoughts about that one. So
sure, I just don't watch much TV. I mean, if you come to my place and I don't have a TV in my room, I don't watch much TV. I just did I was working on a podcast this morning. I went and work out. I was ready to do a podcast with you. I've been cooking. Right now I'm cooking. I got to check my food. And, you know, just doing stuff. It, next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock, you know, and that's it. And, you know, in a couple hours, I'll be going to sleep because I get up early, man, for my grind, for the weight room session, man. I'm going to kill those legs, kill those big potatoes I got, man. I'm going to go get them. So, but, yeah, we got to do something like that, brother. So you just let me know when you have time. I love getting with you in this format and recording our journey together, man. That's what this is all about, man, recording these conversations and these talks and just learning from one another, man, and just kind of check in as well. So it's a beautiful thing. So thank you, my man, as always. And good luck to the family out there in the big old beach.
Blue eyes and mountain curves. He smiles. Let go.